Looking for a book on Mormonism? When you're in the Salt Lake City area, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is the place to go. Here, you'll find the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including Answering Mormon's Questions, written by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. In addition, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple in Salt Lake City. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. On December 6th, 2013, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints posted a statement titled Race and the Priesthood. The fact that it is found on LDS.org does give it the air of officiality because, according to an LDS Newsroom article, anything that you find on an official LDS website can be considered an official position of the Mormon Church. The problem that we have at MRM with this statement is it seems to be a blatant attempt to excuse the teaching that was held in the Mormon Church for much of its history, the teaching that those of African heritage could not hold the priesthood. And what I mean by it tends to excuse it is it tends to place the blame on Brigham Young, the second president of the Mormon Church, and not squarely on the shoulders of God himself, as many leaders prior to 1978 said that's where it came from. It's great to know that the Mormon Church is wanting to address the race problems that it had for much of its history. However, we find it egregious when we read of the excuses that the Mormon Church leadership gives, placing the blame on Brigham Young when that certainly is not the case. We want to look at this statement in detail and show you some of the problems that we have with it. Now, let's go back and explain that up until 1978, a man who was known to have one drop of Negro blood could not hold the Mormon priesthood. The priesthood is essential in Mormonism if a Mormon male hopes to become exalted in the next life. The priesthood is necessary for a lot of the blessings that Mormonism affords its members. And blacks, for much of the LDS history, were not given those blessings because of this ban.
If they were Protestant, they should have just remained Protestant, because the whole purpose of the Mormon Church coming into existence was to bring back the authority that had been lost during the Great Apostasy, and that all of the churches during Joseph Smith's day did not have that authority. And according to Joseph Smith History 119 in the Pearl of Great Price, that all of their creeds were wrong and they had no authority at all. And that's what Mormonism does. It brings back the authority so that the man can get the priesthood and be able to use that priesthood in the temple, where the ordinances that take place there are valid, supposedly, for hopefully going to the celestial kingdom.
According to this statement, Race and the Priesthood, it starts off by saying, in theology and practice, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints embraces the universal human family. Latter-day Saint scripture and teachings affirm that God loves all of his children and makes salvation available to all. God created the many diverse races and ethnicities and esteems them all equally. As the Book of Mormon puts it, all are alike unto God. Now, I notice that statement is written very cleverly, because when it says that the church makes salvation available to all, well, yeah, it does to a certain regard. Salvation is going to come to all men. Well, when you look at general resurrection from the dead as being known as salvation by grace, yes, all mankind is going to receive some level of salvation. But really, only Mormons are going to achieve the best that God has for his creation.
Well, and that's the problem with trying to understand what the Mormon is saying, because if you don't know the language, then you can get easily confused. I think a lot of Christians especially will get confused and say, well, they believe that all people are going to heaven and God loves all his children. Well, then you break that down and try to explain that, yes, he loves all his children as far as resurrection, but as far as going to the very best this religion has to offer, not all of God's children are going there.
And when you really look at the teaching of Mormonism, where they do believe that all of us are God's children. Now, that's not a Christian teaching. I know that's a phrase I hear some Christians use, and it makes me cringe. The Bible does not teach that we are all of God's children. It does not teach that.
It says we become children of God.
By our faith in Christ. That's what makes us a child of God. So, that being the case in Mormonism, when they talk about God loving all of his children, think about it, folks. If you do not get into the presence of God by making it to the celestial kingdom, God the Father in Mormonism, Elohim, will have nothing to do with you throughout eternity. He won't even want to look on your face.
Now, Jesus can visit the terrestrial kingdom.
But yeah, I guess you could say that Jesus is kind of a slummer. He gets to go down to the terrestrial and visit down there. But if you don't make it to the celestial kingdom, God will never have anything to do with you again. So when Mormons try to make this argument that Christianity is so harsh because we're trying to say that God is going to punish his children in hell, we're not saying that. We're not saying that because we don't believe that those who do go to hell are God's children.
Well, and if you're going to take Mormonism at the whole that it's meant to be taken, the pre-existence, we've talked about this before, that's where God the Father and Heavenly Mother or Mothers, however it is, created all the spirit children, and one third of those spirit children were cast out of heaven because they did not side with Jesus as all human beings on this earth have done. And so one third of God's children were cast out of heaven forever to follow Lucifer to become the demons. How is that the Mormonism God of love for all
and
of his children?
Be, and they're going to be cast where in eternity? To outer darkness.
Which is just like a hell.
Just
so
like a hell. Yeah. I mean, it might be a little different in some aspects, but it still is a hell.
And they made one mistake. And
seems
I
to be.
I mean, they just, you know, they made a judgment error. I don't know how I chose that. If Mormonism is true, somehow I was smart enough to figure out that Jesus was the right Savior. But one third of my brothers and sisters were not, and forever are going to be doomed.
In this opening statement, it says God created the many diverse races and ethnicities and esteems them all equally. Notice the clever language here, because that's not how the Mormon Church treated all of the diverse races and ethnicities. They were not esteemed to be equal. And that can be easily found just by doing a very quick search of statements from Mormon leaders prior to 1978. So when it says, as the Book of Mormon puts it, all are alike unto God, the question I would ask, well, if they were not always treated with equality, and the Book of Mormon says all are alike unto God, why was that phrase in the Book of Mormon that's being touted so much now, why was it so much ignored prior to 1978?
Good point.
That's what this statement is going to try and explain. It's going to try to give a history of what took place in the Mormon Church prior to 1978. But what's troubling for us is how it, as I said earlier, tries to make excuses for this. And it fails to really put the blame, and I'm using blame in quotes, on the one who leaders prior to 1978 would put it. And that would be God himself. Now, as I mentioned, they want to blame Brigham Young. He's an easy punching bag. He's not here to defend himself. He's dead. He's been dead for a long time. So it's easy to blame Brigham Young. But what I find fascinating is in this statement is that it tends to want to make right a wrong, but in doing so, it commits another wrong. And this is where I have some real big problems with this. I think they need to explain this, but at least if you're going to explain it and try to make the wrong right, do it with another right, not with another wrong. Tell the truth. And unfortunately, the Mormon Church has this terrible time telling the truth when it comes to their dubious history. And I think people need to know about this. Why would you want to join a church? Why would you want to join hands with a church when the leadership of that church refuses to be totally honest with its members and with the general public? I think those are fair questions. I think they're very fair questions. One thing it does say in this statement, it talks about the structure and organization of the church encourages racial integration. Latter-day Saints attend church services according to the geographical boundaries of their local ward or congregation. By definition, this means that the racial, economic, and demographic composition of Mormon congregations generally mirrors that of the wider local community. Well, it does, and you're right, it does do that. However, if you are attending a ward up on Wasatch Boulevard, I can guarantee you, you're not going to be sharing the ward with people of another socioeconomic level as a person, let's say, in the West Valley. So really, it does kind of still divide you up. It just doesn't give you the opportunity as a member to purposely go to a ward where you might feel more comfortable. You don't have that choice in Mormonism. But still, it kind of is broken down that way.
Well, and that's today. I mean, and that was back before 1978 as well. However, back before 1978, that same congregation, you could have this black bishop that they're referring to in this paragraph, and a mainly white Mormon population in the congregation. All of those people were eligible to be able to go to the temple and do the work because they had the priesthood. That black bishop would not have. I don't even know if a person could have been a bishop as a African American back before 1978. But regardless, there was at one time. And that's what this article, Race and the Priesthood, is trying to erase history. It reminds me of 1984, George Orwell. I want to call this Orwell Mormonism, because that's what is going to happen. They're going to change history, and the way that it's being presented, I think, is very deceptive.
This one paragraph I'd like to cover before we close. Despite this modern reality, for much of its history, from the mid-1800s until 1978, the church did not ordain men of black African descent to its priesthood or allow black men or women to participate in temple, endowment, or sealing ordinances. And as we're going to see tomorrow, it's going to explain why that was a part of their history.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you considered visiting the Holy Land? Well, in February 2015, Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson are hosting a trip to Israel with the option to visit the Seven Churches of Revelation in Turkey. During our 11-day trip to Israel, former Utah pastor Joel Kramer will take us on a day to see important biblical sites where very few people go. We'll also have a chance to swim in the Dead Sea, get baptized in the Jordan River, and hike through Hezekiah's Tunnel. To find out more, visit MRM.org and click on the Israel icon on the top right-hand corner of the page. Again, that's MRM.org.